Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN Radio audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
What a wonderful, wonderful time we had in the dream.
Yes.
In the dream center. Like, wow. The presence of God. And, you know, I got good news for you that this Jesus, who you hear folks speaking about, is alive. Mm. He's real. And the promise, the promised power and the presence and the awesomeness of who he is real. And, I want to encourage you to go after God this week. Just spend all your energy, all your thought, all your meditation in your heart just on him and just say, dear God, I want more of you. Mm. And in that, he will honor you because he says, if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. Now, in the requirement of that, I just tell you real quick, like, you'll have to shed a few things. Mm. No, not pounds, but you'll have to shed, could be, you know, things, you know, sin. But he forgives us for that. So I just want to encourage you today. Start that journey back to God. Mm-hmm. He has been waiting for you, and he loves you, and he has a plan for your life. And get back to the original intent of the church. And I'm going to be talking about that today, hopefully, in today's programs. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back. We're going to be talking about what happened at the VFN Dream Center and also Jonathan Edwards' message back in 1741, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Wow. Oh my goodness. You know, I read that thing several times this weekend. It just really just stirred my heart. And you start wondering, you know, where is this God? Where is this message? Has God changed? And then I went to the Word of God. He says, he never changes. I was like, that means we changed, but he didn't change. Mm. You know, it makes you want to go, okay, hey, back to original intent. Mm-hmm. And if you're saved, what are we saved from? You know, that's incredible. People quit using the word salvation and saved because everybody had quit telling folks what you're saved from. Mm-hmm. And we want to find that out. You want to find out? Stay tuned today. We're going to talk about what Jesus saved us from. Hmm. Also, I'm not going to talk much about this, but I thought it was pretty interesting. I was watching C-SPAN 3 this weekend, and they interview authors, you know, nonfiction art authors. And this particular lady, her name is Anna Holmes. She started with Gawker Media Company, started a website, Jezebel.com. Mm. Jezebel.com. Isn't that something?
Wow. Interesting.
Well, that's pretty interesting. But then I found out why she was on there. She was actually talking about her book, The Book of Jezebel. It was also interesting. I believe they started this whole thing in 2007, 2008, that's when America just really got hooked, you know, on the fruit of Jay-Z. Oh. And not Jezebel, I'm talking about Jezebel, not the elevator.
Yeah, not Jay-Z. The
But, yeah, and so, you know, I thought, man, that is just out front, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's just totally out front. And she just, and I noticed the wisdom of the world is go ahead and claim what they call you so that you can own it, and then you can begin to change things because you change the argument once you own it. As a matter of fact, a lot of our leaders in the political world today, they're real good at going, okay, you're right. Okay, now let's do this. Versus like, wait a minute, let's go back. You know, you own that, but it was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so the book of Jezebel's out, just because anybody's wanting to know what it is. But, you know, God had it out for quite some time. Mm-hmm. It is in the Old Testament and the New Testament, by the way. And it is in prophecy and book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, the church of Thyatira. If you just want to know what God thinks about this. Also, I don't know if you heard about this. We'll be talking about this today as well, that Miriam Ibrahim, the Christian mother, wife, who was sentenced to life. She's pregnant, I believe. Sentenced to life because she was a Christian. She's a Christian. She refused to deny Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And she has a Christian husband whose father was a Muslim. And then they want to convict her of a crime because she committed adultery sleeping with this Christian man. Her husband. And this is a welcome to radical Islam.
Wow.
Welcome to Sharia law.
Wow.
And we need to pray for her. She's been sentenced to death. And we'll be talking about that today. CBN News is reporting about that. And now since the world had responded to it. They're beginning to potentially, you know, change their plans towards sentencing her to death. She's in jail right now, I believe, with her 18-month-old child. And they're saying they wouldn't put her to death anyway until after she has the child. I'm like, what are you talking about?
Wow.
This is crazy. But, you know, it's surreal law when you hear about, you know, Muslim Brotherhood 101 and you hear us talk about, you know, radical Islam and the comparing the Quran to the Bible. This is that. This is the comparison. So when somebody wants to promote radical Islam, they want to promote the Muslim Brotherhood. This is what you're promoting.
Mm-hmm.
It was so bad that Egypt even rejected it when we gave it to them, when our leaders put the Muslim Brotherhood in power. And you just need to go back, go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com and study up. Just, we did videos and picture shows and words and audios. So you might not have to read anything. You just listen and watch movies and stuff, little clips and stuff, short clips. And you can learn. So you got to learn this because I believe the first Quran printed in the in America was done by Thomas Jefferson, was it? Or it was one of our founding fathers that said, you need to read this because this is what we're battling with.
Mm.
It wasn't that he was trying to, people turned that around like he's trying to promote it. He's like, no, we got to get, you know, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. America was going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge, understanding that this is some political, governmental thing. It's not a religion in the say that it's in your heart. It's like, no, we're going to take over all the land, the government, Sharia law will take over the Constitution.
Mm.
And Sharia law is in direct conflict with the United States Constitution, so you cannot have that. Even though in Europe they're allowing pockets of their Great Britain to allow just Sharia law in those areas, which is, you know, you're just
crazy.
Anything divided is going to fall. And that is Satan's goal is to, for the nation, that particular nation or any nation to fall to Islam. And also, I don't know if you know about this, but the U.S. News is reporting that the Chinese military, according to our attorney general, he's coming out today. He'll be making announcements today that the Chinese military has committed cyber espionage to us.
Yeah, a couple thousand times.
Yeah, right.
Really? Is this news?
Yeah. Which goes to show you that they might have your email password. You know, just saying. And you might want to put up too many vulnerable pictures on your Facebook, as I believe that China has FaceTime as well, whatever it's called, face recognition software. Yeah. And I just filtered three jokes out that quick. It was pretty good. Thank you, Lord. And also, hopefully, get a chance to talk about in our four programs back to back why we abide.
Mm.
So important when you talk about abiding with the Lord. And, you know, what does that mean? Some people just say they just kind of like do penance, you know, like I'm going to spend time with God. But there's so many dimensions to that. Also, talking about abiding at peace in the storm.
Yes. You know, so many times we go through things that happen in our life, but the enemy wants to rob us of our peace. And our peace is one of our greatest inheritance as sons and daughters of God. He's the God of peace, and peace should be with us the entire time. So we're going to talk about how to keep your peace today.
And also this breakout at the Atlanta airport.
Yes. You got to see this video, which we will make available for you. But it's amazing what happens when just a couple of believers get together who sing, and they just break out in worship, and you got to listen to this. It's going to be awesome.
We'll talk about this when we get back from the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can employees have religious material in open view in the workplace? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I have a problem at work. I had a sign up on the wall that said, Jesus is Lord. While I was on vacation, they took them all down and said that I can't do that anymore because it's illegal. And I was just wondering what I can do because I don't want to stop working there. I just want to be able to display my First Amendment rights.
Sometimes these employers will react because they think if they allow a religious sentiment to be kept up in the workplace that they're creating a hostile work environment. And that's simply not true. The fact that someone, a coworker, doesn't share your religious beliefs is not a basis upon which your religious beliefs are then censored. Now, the employer is given a lot of discretion. I mean, they could say we only want work-related material up in an office. They have the right to do that. Let me refer you to ACLJ.org. Great information on our website and really should be very, very helpful to you at work and get those answers resolved for you.
For more information about your rights in the workplace, visit us on our website at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
If you don't have a plan to abide with the Lord, we have one for you,
mm-hmm.
because it'll just begin to just revitalize your prayer life. And you'll find that not only are you talking to God, but you're dialoguing with the Lord and having this documented conversation. We have a plan for you. It's at iabide.org. It's a free plan. You can request it today, and it's amazing how your life will, you'll just have peace in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing when we do what God says and operate in the context of how he says do things. It's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be. And children are abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. I know as adults, we should be able to do that. We are so excited, by the way, to welcome our Gulf Coast audience in our new time slot now, Monday through Friday, 5:30 p.m. to be there as soon as you get home from work. We want to give you a perspective of all the things that you heard throughout the day. And, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. And we want to be able to you know, God, what does this mean? You know, and hearing from many in the body of Christ and just hearing ourselves from the Lord and spending time abiding with the Lord and praying over it, you know, trying to make sense out of what you know, if you were to think about it, doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-mm. You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to go right into just glancing at this message that was given by Jonathan Edwards in 1741, July the 8th, actually, 1741, mm-hmm. which I believe reports are that it was one of the key things of the Great Awakening when God began to stir hearts. I mean, you can preach all day long, but when the presence of God is confirming that word, and in the title of his message was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And today, I mean, does that even fit with what you're hearing from pulpits around the nation? Mm. It's like God doesn't get angry, and the insurance company made a mistake when they put, you know, acts of God in your insurance policies,
right.
And God's different now. Once Jesus was born, then God, you know, went to therapy and came back a different God. He's not the same God anymore. He's a new, I mean, they have these mindsets. It's like he changed or something. And it's like, no, he's the same. He's so much the same that that's why he gave Jesus.
Mm.
I just want to encourage you. The very fact that God gave his son for us and the wrath of God was poured out on his perfect sinless son proves how bad things were outside of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's the wrath of God. And so the wrath of God means the anger of God. And you can be a father, and you can love your child, and you can be angry with your child. I don't know if you know this or not.
Oh yeah.
You don't love me. No, I love you, but I am really upset, right?
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And people start thinking, well, if God gets angry, then that means he doesn't love you. Well, that's just a dysfunctional understanding of love, because truly, if people don't love you, they don't get angry at all. They could just like, what was that?
Yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Like a fly around here or something, but. If you can really hurt the ones you love. And God loves us so much that he gave his son for us. And for us to openly, in his face, sin against him and do openly wrong things, that the wrath of God, the anger of a loving God, is being stored up against us. And what Jesus did, Jesus saved us from that. So when you hear somebody says, I'm saved, that doesn't mean you joined the local church and you got baptized in a $3,000 pool behind the choir loft. It means that you got saved from the wrath of God, that the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus instead of you. That's what it means, saved. We're being saved. Salvation is being saved from the wrath of God, the deserving wrath of God. And he talks about that. He talks about it in his message about sinners in the hand of an angry God. And when you think about that, it's really tough to even understand in today's sermons that are being preached, but it's the same God. I mean, and understand, this is true. You can actually love someone and be angry with them. And the one who created you can love you and be angry at your provoking of him. And you're consciously not reaching out for him. And he makes a way. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. You know, you are the object of my wrath. Yes, I am very angry with you. But I'm going to show my mercy towards you. I love you. I'm going to show my mercy to you. So I'm going to offer my son as a living sacrifice. He's going to take on all my wrath. It's due you, not him, because he does nothing wrong. He's going to take it on. I'm going to pour it all out on him. And then he's going to go and suffer the agony of death. And there's agony in death. No matter what anybody tells you, there's no such thing as soul sleep, and you're just going to you're going to go to hell outside of God. He's saving us from the wrath of God and hell. And so then Jesus suffers the agony of death. This perfect Son of God, sinless Son of God, the agony of death, which is our agony. And then God rescues him from the agony of death and raises him from the dead. And understand, because of that transaction with God in his wrath and mankind, if you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you repent and be baptized. You repent from your sins and say, Jesus, I understand. I deserve that. You took it. You're Lord. You are my Lord. You are my God. Guess what? The wrath is no longer. You have been saved from the wrath of God. Hmm. Wouldn't it be horrific if you listened to all those other things that you didn't know that it was the wrath of God? As a matter of fact, we're going to make available to you on the VFN Torch a clip from Bill Weiss. That's Bill Weiss. That this is a Christian man who loved the Lord and loves the Lord, but he had a out-of-body vision where you hear people, 90 minutes in heaven, and I went to heaven, all this kind of stuff. With this guy, the Lord took him to hell and showed him what hell would be, and it matches verbatim what the Word of God says hell would be like. And Jesus is the one, he said, don't fear the one who can destroy your body and nothing else. Fear the one that can destroy your body and throw your soul into hell. Throw you into hell. What does that mean? It means that we're held in the hand of God. And imagine just God dangling you like this. And he's not dangling you. He's actually saying, I don't want you to go to the consequences over the fires of hell. I don't want you to go. I'm holding on to you. I'm showing you my mercy. You do deserve this. The sun is not obligated to shine on you. The earth's not obligated to produce fruit to be spent on your lust and all that different things. And I want you, and I'll tell you what I do. With this hand while I'm holding you, this hand over here, I'm going to take and just hit and strike my son on the cross with my wrath. And I'm going to take what belongs to you. I'm going to hit him with that. And then I'm going to raise him from the dead after that. And I'm going to have a cross. And I'm going to stick that cross out to you. And all you have to do is reach out your hand and take the cross. That's all you have to do. And if you sit there with your arms crossed like this and you say, I'm going to live for myself, and I'd rather be evil, I'd rather do what... Listen, he's not obligated not to send you to hell. He can just let go. But it's the mercies of God. It's the mercies of God and the love of God that he is saying, listen, sinners in the hand of an angry God. And understand, I really truly believe what the Lord has shown me, that mass death is coming to the earth. Something's going to happen, maybe natural disaster. I don't know, but I know the end result was there was a lot. You think about the tsunami that hit in the Indian Ocean. I mean, people look at it from an intellectual standpoint. It's like, great loss of life, huge loss of life, 100,000 or so folks. And and what the Lord showed me was that a commercial airline, this is what the Lord is showing me in a dream, in a vision. He says, he showed me that a commercial airline, it was so many corpses people lost their life. There were so many bodies that this commercial airline, you could not book a flight on it because the only thing they were doing was delivering bodies. We're delivering bodies, transporting bodies. And it has happened in history. Look at all the things that have happened in history. And my prayer is it doesn't happen. But understand this, the moment something happens, and no man's guaranteed tomorrow. I mean, you're just not guaranteed tomorrow. God doesn't have to do a miracle to take someone's life out. I mean, there's so many opportunities in a day-to-day life. People's lives are snuffed out continually.
That's right.
Walking over, loose bridges and driving down roads you thought would hold you up, but the flood took it out. Just so many things. MERS is going around, the Middle Eastern, syndrome, whatever it's called, that thing. And
MERS
and all these different things are happening. And it's just like the mercies of God. The thing about it is, if you were in that tsunami, your life would have ended at that moment. And whatever you decided or didn't decide, you would live eternity then, because it's eternal. It's eternal. It's not like you just die and that's it. No, it's eternal. We have eternal beings. And you got to see this. You got to go to the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. Click on the torch. And you got to see this video of Bill Wise talking about a visitation to hell. I mean, he literally went there. And so he's talking about that. You got to, hopefully, let's make a link available to the sinners in the hands of an angry God. Just, you got to hear this. You got to read this. You got to see it. Because I truly believe that until we get this, we won't understand what God has saved us from. Because of all the things Peter was to do with the disciples when he was preaching at the birth of the church. I mean, the power of God, the promise of God came, the power of God came. People began to look and wonder what was going on. and this is the book of Acts. And then people were listening, and so he began to explain what was going on. But then he preached the gospel, and he said at the very end of it, he says, repent and be baptized. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And what he's saying is, save yourself from the wrath of God, eternal wrath of God. So I just want to encourage you today, if you hadn't made a decision to make Jesus Christ to be saved, make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. We shared a couple of our stories at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Find out a little bit about us and how we made our choice for him and where you can make your choice to, and let us know. Well, did you all hear about this lady? Her name is Miriam Ibrahim. And CBN News is reporting that they put her in jail. They put her in jail because she was a Christian and she refused to deny Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. Right. It's like, why would we want Islam? Why would we want radical Islam in our nation? Why would we want women treated this way? She's pregnant and has an 18-month-old child. They put the 18-month-old child in there with her, and they're saying things like, you know, CBN's reporting that, you know, they're going to let her first have the child. They're not going to, you know, and they're going to charge her with adultery for sleeping with her Christian husband. And it's like, if you haven't yet seen the Bible versus the Quran and the VFN Torch, it puts it side by side. You got the Bible on your left side, and the right side you have the Quran. You can see them. You can compare the two. And we need to compare the two and just find out what's going on. Because if you are a Muslim in Islam, then you are following the Quran. Whether you're, you know, you could be, you know, a backslidden, you know, Muslim, or you can be a, you know, kind of, so like a lot of Christians are. Well, I believe some of the Bible, but not all the Bible. Maybe they're Christian, I don't know. But then you have radical Islam, which is people that believe 100% from cover to cover, you know, what the Quran says, and that Muhammad heard wholly from God, from Allah. But then you have radical Christianity is the total bipolar opposite of that. It makes a big difference of when we're talking about, we're called to be radical for God as Christians. And when we're seeing our own current leadership promote Islam in our nation,
yeah,
remove radical Islam, according to Michelle Bachmann, from all of our libraries and FBI, which Eric Holder is over, and CIA. It's like, what are we doing? Why are we doing this?
Yeah. And what's interesting is that radical Christianity means that we fall more in love with Jesus and more love comes out of us. Radical Islam means more people get hurt, murdered, and are in bondage.
Yes.
Clear, distinct difference.
Right. Radical Christianity is less of me and more of him.
Right.
And radical Islam is more of me and less of them.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You got to convert or go to servitude or die.
It's over.
The sword... one of the intimate terms in the Quran, I think somebody says the most intimate term in the Quran is as close as a sword is to your throat.
Yeah. You know, you can almost imagine people thinking, you know, why are you talking about this? Hello, this is a real threat. Look what's happening in Europe right now. I mean,
at the present rate,
the German Chancellor, Angela Merkel, said that in 20 years, Germany will be an Islamic nation in less than 20 years. And if that wasn't bad in itself, you're talking about Sharia law coming against the Constitution, a radical change, and we need to be educated, need to be informed of actually what is happening and what is going on. So, yes, we're going to keep it in the forefront. Yes, we're going to talk about it, because you got to know that, listen, this is not going to be good for America, not going to be good for us.
Take a look at this. You got to see the CBN News.
Good evening. I'm Mark Martin. Sentenced to die all because she won't renounce her faith. That's what one pregnant woman in Sudan is facing. A court there has sentenced her to hang for being a Christian. Dale Hurd has more in tonight's top story.
Protesters gathered outside a court in Sudan's capital after the woman was sentenced to death for refusing to recant her Christian faith. 26-year-old Miriam Ibrahim was convicted of apostasy on Sunday and given 4 days to repent and escape death, according to her lawyer. Ibrahim was born a Muslim but married a Christian man. The court also ordered that Ibrahim be given 100 lashes for committing zina, Arabic for illegitimate sex, for having sexual relations with her Christian husband, Daniel Wani. Wani is a U.S. citizen. A spokesman for the prosecutor said they were given ample time to prove their innocence, but I believe in upholding our traditions and customs as Sudanese. But this political activist said the court has no appearance of justice or respect for freedom of choice in one's beliefs, personally and individually. Tina Ramirez of the human rights group Hardwired says the U.S. government has not been helpful in this case.
So there's a huge failure on behalf of the United States. The husband, Daniel, had even been trying to get a visa for his wife and child to come to the U.S. prior to this. And there were many complications and it still hasn't been processed.
If there is any good news, it's that there is still time to save Miriam's life.
There will be an appeal, and that could take years. They won't put her to death while she's pregnant or weaning the child, so it could take a couple of years before the sentence is carried out anyway.
Dale Hurds.
This is totally amazing. Listen, he's an American citizen. Her husband's an American citizen. All we have to do is give her a visa to make her back. He's an American citizen. Yeah. The fact that he's married, that she should be able to be an American citizen. We should go rescue her. That's not a complicated thing. Why are we supporting Islam in this world like this?
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
That's right, we have another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's called the Torch Newsletter. Every week, the Torch Newsletter goes out, and in the newsletter, you're going to get the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. You're also going to get all the VFN Radio highlights emailed directly into your inbox. So whether you want to listen on your phone, whether you get your emails on your tablet, or whether you get it on your home PC, you will have access to that week's VFN Radio highlights. Go to VFNTV.com and select newsletter sign up, or text VFNTV at 22828. Again, text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN Torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel, we try to share the conversation we're having with our listeners. We really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch.
Welcome to the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily radio program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. If you missed our earlier program today, you got to catch it. We're talking about sinners in the hands of an angry God, Jonathan Edwards' message from 1741. how it began the Great Awakening. We'll be talking more about, and we have been talking about, but just there's this momentum beginning to build. And we talked about it, I guess, on a previous program about this third Great Awakening. Mm. And God's just looking for someone that just believes him.
Mm-hmm.
And, but one key ingredient to an awakening is acknowledging God exists, acknowledging he has ways, expectations. Then we look at our ways compared to his ways, and we find out we're in need of a savior. Mm. And then we come to that savior, Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge our wrong, our sin. And we say, ask God to forgive us. We repent and we're baptized and we say, you're the Lord of our life. And that's the foundation of a great awakening. Great awakening doesn't come just because we need one. I mean, we need a great awakening because we've sinned. You know, yeah. It's not like, yeah. Okay, it's time for a great awakening.
Right.
Step out of my Cadillac from my mansion in between there. Right. I'm going to get. No, it's because we've sinned. Mm-hmm. But God's just waiting for us to turn to him. And we're starting to see some great things, you know, take place. And we'll be having more about that. And you can find out about the third great awakening. As a matter of fact, we want to want a category set up on the torch specifically for the third great awakening, because there's so many things that have been said and that are being said. And I think it's just going to totally, the momentum is going to build, and we want to be able to find everyone to build your faith, because you're going to need to believe for a third great awakening. You just don't watch and see. He looks for someone who believes. And if we find someone that stands in a gap, just one person, he says, so he doesn't have to destroy the land. And that's all you have to do, stand in the gap. And so we'll make that available to you at VFNTV.com and also on the VFN Torch. We talked about that. And also we talked about Miriam Ibrahim, who has been a Christian mother, wife, who a Sudanese judge, obviously, who they have a caliphate going on over there, that sends her to death because she refused to renounce her faith. And they talk about, they're starting to talk about, they have freedom of religion there. It's right. Like, yeah, you have freedom to follow that religion.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's about it. That's right. The freedom. You have freedom to die if you don't.
Mm.
But other than that, but sentenced to death. You got to be able to hear that. You'll be just really shocked. But also it'll educate you on why we need to stick to the Constitution of America and not a caliphate, which is an Islamic constitution, which means Islam, the Quran would be the law of the land under a caliphate. And so that means it's in direct competition with the U.S. Constitution. Oh, that's a good thing to do. Read the Constitution. Get your little pocket copy of it. I mean, look at this. I mean, that's so small. And you could read this. Everything you see on C-SPAN it's written in here. It's why it can happen. When they talk about article this and article that, it's the Constitution they're actually talking about. Limits and all the different things, but also your rights. And when you have the First Amendment, right, which says that you have the freedom, the government can make no law concerning religion. That means a judge like that could not say that in Sudan, where this judge says that you're going to be sentenced to death because you refuse to renounce your faith.
Mm.
In America, under the Constitution, that's unconstitutional. That judge would be taken off his or her bench. And definitely the ruling would be thrown out. It would be appealed.
Yeah.
Because that person, she has the First Amendment right. And so that's why you want the Constitution. This is really a good thing. Let's just repent and say, dear Lord, let us keep our nation. Let us keep this Constitution. And I just want to talk about in this particular program about, of course, Eric Holder's reporting today in the U.S. News, USA Today, that the United States is accusing China of their military of cyber espionage, where they're just breaking into all of our countries. And it's like, did you read the back of your computer? It says made in China. Did you read the back of your your iPhone? It says made in China, assembled in America or something. I don't know what it is. And it's like, you don't think that they're putting, they're, you know, come on. But as the church, you know, as Christians, you know, we have brothers and sisters that are Chinese, and we're glad they're getting jobs.
That's right.
What I'm saying? We're glad they're getting jobs. And, but it's kind of obvious if China's putting together our technology, there's a chance they might have a back door to our technology.
Hello.
It's like, you knew it. You just kind of say, you know, open the door. Because I wonder, you know, when I look at, and I saw reports this morning of on Fox News that Russia is backing out of the Ukraine. Did you see that where they're backing out?
I heard something about that.
It's almost like there was a strategy to get the attention of the world focused over there on the Ukraine while something else was going on. Mm-hmm. And since then, the entire nuclear program has been redefined in Iran. Now it's like old hat. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, we're gonna build nuclear power. It's not a big deal anymore. And it's just like, man, we're just such a sucker for the Alinsky methodologies, aren't we? It's just look, watch the right hand. Watch the right hand. You know, do the left hand.
Shiny object. Shiny object.
Or money. Right?
Yeah.
You're going to lose your 401k. Oh, my gosh. I'm dizzy.
Right.
I just really feel in my spirit that some things were being shifted around at a time like that. And I was watching, I don't know if you know about this or not, but and we will be showing segments from this hopefully as news clips, but Barbara Walters has retired for maybe another time, I don't know, but yeah. She's retired. But what I thought was very interesting was, because a lot of women had followed Barbara Walters, she was like the torchbearer for women, you know.
And journalists
and women's feminist movements and all mm-hmm. that. But she, you know what she said, of all the things that she could have said, it's almost like she threw all the women under the bus, because she said, you know, what is the one thing at the end of your life or something like that you're going to regret? She said, I wish I would have been a better mother.
Oh, wow.
You know, and all these things, but her encouragement was to encourage mothers not to mother, to get out here in the workplace. And then Whoopi Goldberg, they said, what was your regrets? And she says that I regret that I've left my children.
Wow.
That's my regret. Do you feel guilty? She says, I feel pains about it every now and then. And all these women follow her lead. And I'm telling you, every single time, because it's the very end of your life, you don't care anymore. You start looking back at things and you're going like, I have two regrets, just two.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have done more for my family because I'm about to leave them. And I wish I would have done more for God because I'm about to see them. I mean, it just doesn't matter who they are. They're beginning to just ponder those things. And here she is with all these women who are, it's great having women in media and all those different things, but you don't have to leave your family. We have a congresswoman coming up soon that we'll be talking about, that she had three children while being a congressman. She is the lead congressperson in Congress now. But she didn't leave motherhood. She didn't leave her husband. They stayed together through the whole thing. I couldn't imagine. It's amazing, isn't it?
Amazing.
She's a graduate, for all the people in the Gulf Coast, of Pensacola Christian College. That's why we're going to be talking about her. Just letting folks know that a graduate from Pensacola Christian College is now the leading congresswoman. And she's the one that gave the speech after the president, whatever you call it.
The response
and all that. But I thought it was pretty cool. She's from Pensacola Christian. And also... So your computers, don't put anything on your computer you don't mind, you know, I guess.
Handing over
to, I don't know, governments such as the United States government. You know, because actually NSA is doing the same thing. I mean, we're accusing China of espionage. Why? Based on reports, it looks like our government's committing espionage against its own people.
That's right.
With, allegedly... with the NSA, you know, getting all of America's data. And all.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's espionage. That's actually, you know, and when people get in office, when people serve in office, president, vice president, Congress, Senate, all the way down to your governor. But this is what they do. They swear an oath. They swear an oath. And this is the oath that they swear. And you can see this on the VFN towards the entire oath. They swear. They take an oath. That I will protect and defend the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic, which means enemies that are not in America and enemies that are in America. They're enemies of the Constitution. And right now, this just seems to be a lot of folks in leadership that swore this oath that they're the very ones coming against the very thing they swore to protect. And the only reason they can be there is because the Constitution was there. They're a representative. This is a representative government. And it's we the people that actually choose representatives to go represent the people. So it's the Constitution that empowered it, just enabled D.C. to even be there, Washington, D.C. to be there. And so you can say to your congressman or congresswoman, your senator, your president, you can say, listen, you swore an oath. You swore an oath to uphold the Constitution, defend it. Uphold it, which means make sure it stays prominent because you're only going to be here for a little bit.
Mm.
And you're to defend it from enemies foreign and domestic. So if there's somebody in America that's coming against the Constitution, such as, I don't know, espionage in the country, then we should be defended against that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not wrong for the government. And then you think, well, how can they defend us if they're the very ones that are doing the spying on the Americans? You know what I'm saying? That mm-hmm. is like unconstitutional. It should be ruled. And of course, the big thing is that, you know, to protect. Mm-hmm. And it just looks like, you know, we're real days probably away from a cashless society. One of John Paul Jackson's prophetic words where they're really going to push for the Amero type concept where you have Canada, Mexico, and America, mm-hmm. one particular economy. And it looks like we're pretty close to that now. I mean, how many people really carry cash anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And besides, the cash is going to be worth nothing probably if things don't turn around. Which means that it's all going to be digital, but somehow there has to be some sort of governmental presence to protect Americans from cyber
mm-hmm.
attacks and cyber theft and all that. And it's just like, oh man, this is almost like Romans chapter 1, this image thing going on. It's like, mm-hmm. is it really real? Is it not real? And you bought that house off of Bitcoin? And exactly. how does that, and where is this thing? And how do you, you can't, it's like, oh my goodness, we're the VCR generation. We are the blinking VCR generation. And we need some things explained to us. We get back, we're going to talk about an evangelist, Leonard Ravenhill, and so much more.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
In a time of great peril, the light of liberty grows dim with every passing day. Listener, your nation needs you this summer in Washington, D.C. My name is Rodney Howard Brown, and I'm inviting you to come to celebrate America to be held at the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall for the first 3 weeks in July. Celebrate America is going to be a spiritual invasion of a Jesus kind. You, your church, your youth group, we're calling all the believers to come and be a part to help take J.C. to D.C. Your nation is counting on you. July the 1st through the 19th will be nightly meetings held at the DAR at 7 p.m. and then mass evangelism in the mornings on the streets. Admission, of course, is free. Come and celebrate America's heritage, her 238th birthday, the Constitution, the founding fathers who acknowledged firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. The only hope for America is another great spiritual awakening. If not now, when? If not you, who? Enlist today for free at CelebrateAmericaDC.com. That is CelebrateAmericaDC.com.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, what we have, he's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error, and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want to say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about, in this part of the program, about a prophet by the name of Leonard Ravenhill. If you haven't got his book, it's In Light of Eternity. And I love what he has on his tombstone. He has on his tombstone. This is, presently, I think that's what I'd like to have. Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?
Yeah.
Is that powerful?
Yes.
That means every time somebody comes by your grave, you're still preaching the gospel. That's your whole reward still hasn't come in yet. That's Isn't
good.
That cool?
Yeah.
That is so cool. And Charles Sepiel's reading this book, and it's a story about his life and his journey. I thought was pretty interesting. But there's one particular article in there, and this man, explain some of his impact, John, as I'm looking this up.
This is a tremendous man of God gift to the church at large. This was a prophet who spoke incredible truth. This is a man of deep prayer, and it was very serious about God and the church and the church's destiny. And this man is from London. And I can remember some really amazing stories. In fact, it's interesting that the title of the book is called In Light of Eternity, because one of his famous quotes is to stamp eternity on your mind, on your forehead, and to live with it, with that perspective. But he's from London, and even from an early age in his life, when he was a young man, they would him and his friends would just go, you know, across the countryside and just preach these revivals. Intense. Right. They'd sleep in.
Well, I have that right here. So I was going to talk about that. There, this is this particular newspaper that was writing an article on them in 1925. This man by the name of Samuel Chadwick, during a particular period of time, he just had this. He saw this. Believe it or not, this is what it says. He began to ponder over the spiritual conditions of the world. All around, there were signs of moral collapse and economic failure.
Wow.
It's like 1925. But worse still was the neglect of religion, the Sabbath, and the church. And so he had this vision of getting together a whole bunch of young guys and leading to the Lord, training them up and launching them out. And this paper writes about him. That's what I wanted to be able to share about the teams. You continue talking, try to talk about this, that he would send them out. This is his vision. He would send forth a band of young men full of faith in the Holy Ghost to preach Christ to the multitudes unreached and unsought by the church, and they will receive no salary. This is important, because if you want to reach a people, the last place you got to go to, you need to go to, is the people who think they already have God already.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be the most difficult folks to reach, because they don't understand. The Pharisees did not understand that you don't have God yet.
Yeah, they're blind.
They're blind. And so he sent them out the street, and then he sent them out with no salary. Well, that would really, we're not talking lettuce here, Steve Hill said. He said, they will go as they are led, in other words, led by the Spirit, and they will live by faith. No collections will be taken. No subscriptions, which I guess partnerships on an annual basis, will be solicited. No favors begged, but they will tramp, which is camp, from place to place, preaching and testifying and singing in the streets, marketplaces and village green pastures and beaches, depending upon where they're going to be at. And this was his vision, to be able to send them out. And so Ravenhill was one of those teams that was going to go out. And this was his vision. The paper was writing about it. And they would just show up. They go about 30 miles a day. And they would just go, because when I would hear about Ravenhill, I didn't understand the original, how it happened. I thought he just got this call and he went. But really, Chadwick got this vision of that the only way we're going to be able to change things is to train and launch. We have to train, you know, groups up and launch them out and just have them infiltrate society to begin to share the love of God and win folks to the Lord. And they were winning. They had a song that they would sing. It was something about almost like the millionaire down to the poorest person. They're winning them all to the Lord. And but think about it. In that day, 1925, you know, not having, I mean, there was no Holiday Inns. There were, besides, right. There was no collections. And so they have a picture of them sitting on the side of the street in the bushes, you know, eating something and as happy as they can be.
Yeah. Slept in tents.
Yes.
And just wanted to do the you know, God's will, you know, reach souls. This is an awesome man. I've actually, there's recordings of him, and then I have actually cassette tapes of his messages, and they're so just filled with fire and conviction and passion. But this man was also an incredibly humble man. He was not about any kind of self-promotion at all. In fact, he was very good friends with A.W. Tozer, another just amazing man of God, and they were very good friends. Mm-hmm. And I've heard it said that one of the reasons why Leonard Ravenhill is not as popular as A.W. Tozer are well known is because he just never promoted himself at all. Mm-hmm. But this man was spiritual father to Steve Hill. He's spoken to the lives of Dr. Brown, Michael Brown.
Christ for the Nations.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I believe even Keith Green, he's spoken to Keith Green's life.
Oh, wow.
Worship leader who passed and went to be with the Lord in the 70s or in the Jesus movement, I believe.
Yeah,
and
he did.
Just absolutely awesome.
I got pictures of him in this book with him sitting with Keith.
Yeah, the impact of his life is just amazing. I've heard stories of men that had to preach in the same conference. Other men of God said, "I don't even want to preach when Leonard Ravenhill is there. I don't even want to be there," because he was just very serious about holiness. Mm. Holiness, holiness, holiness. And that was his main message, holiness and repentance. In fact, he's one of... he's well known for a book called Why Revival Tarries. And again, you know, about repentance in America, repentance around the world, a man of prayer. His son, David Ravenhill, was an instructor here in the Gulf Coast area for School of Ministry, Brownsville Bible School of Ministry, and has just continued his father's legacy. But just amazing.
What I thought was pretty interesting in reading parts of his book was that Charles Stanley in the 70s, I believe it was the 70s, he writes about how there was a powerful move taking place at Charles Stanley's church and in Atlanta. And he was preaching, and Charles had told him basically everything is good in the congregation, everything's fine. And he didn't preach, you know, if he had anything left to preach. And all of a sudden, he just felt like the Lord led him to preach on prodigals. And he's thinking, oh my goodness, Charles is not going to like this, mm-hmm. you know, because obviously he thinks prodigals here. So he spoke on prodigal fathers. And when he finished talking about prodigal fathers, prodigal, you know, that left the Lord, man, the altar is just flooded with fathers just weeping and crying. And then after praying for them, they went back and they prayed for prodigal children. Mm-hmm. And then the children mm-hmm. came.
Wow.
And then they told him at that point, this is what's written about his book, he's going to go out the back or something in the church. And Charles, the church tells him, don't go out back because that particular building back there is filled with homosexuals. That's what he said. And Leonard says, you know, what are you talking about?
Right.
And so the next thing you know, the whole altar is filled with all these folks that were in the homosexual lifestyle and getting saved. And so Charles comes up and says, Leonard tells Charles, you pray for these guys. And he started to pray for him, and he said, I can't pray for him because the only thing I ever prayed to this point was that they would actually leave the city.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And Leonard Ravenhill's heart, he loved people. He loved everybody. And he knew that anybody could be saved if they come to the Lord. Mm. And, of course, he was broken based on what he's writing about this book, that he shouldn't have felt that way. And you realize all this time, I should have been loving on these people instead of rejecting them and just, you know what I'm saying, that type of thing. I thought, man, this is so powerful.
Wow.
Because everybody's created in the image and the likeness of God. God loves us. I mean, he loves us. He has a plan for your life, and there's nothing too dark or too wrong that God cannot forgive us and cleanse us. I thought it was pretty powerful.
Yeah.
A pretty powerful thing. And that, you know, some people, you know, preach their preferences and pray out their preferences versus like God wants every man to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And if you want to find out more, we'll make it available access to it. In light of his integrity, it's the biography of Leonard Ravenhill.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. When God begins to do something, he establishes it with more than one witness. As a matter of, you'll begin to hear, as it's amazing, like a choir of those who are listening to God. You'll hear them begin to cry out the same thing the Spirit of God is saying. Yeah, you're going to have probably more naysayers in that type of situation. But listen, how could they know? How could they know what God's saying simultaneously? The very same thing, unless the same God, same Lord, and same Spirit revealed it to them.
Right.
You know, and there is hope for America. There is hope, but you're the hope. The church, Christ in you is the hope of glory. You know, there is a way, and it's a very specific way, to be able to bring America back to the cross, to bring it back to the cross. As a matter of fact, right now, Steve Hill's talking to Peter Wagner, and he's asking the very same question. What should the message be? I'll be right back.
What should the message right now be from pastors, from prophets, from evangelists, from anyone who's in the ministry or anyone who calls themselves a Christian? What should the message be?
Well, you and I believe in revival. And I think that one of the keys to revival is Jesus' Great Commission. I mean, in Matthew quotes Jesus as saying to preach the gospel to every creature, and he who believes and is saved will be saved, and who is baptized. And so seeing the numbers of people being saved and baptized and then folded into churches, and churches multiplying in a way that they multiply so fast that they change society, leads us into Matthew's quote of the Great Commission, where he tells us to make disciples of whole nations.
But you're talking...
You think about this. That's exactly what we're doing at VFN. It's a rapid church planting movement. Obviously, when you begin to move from what was to what is, it takes a while for everything to adjust, but it's like exponential growth. If you understand what God does, it takes a little bit. You know, Jesus started with his one, then he started with his three, he started with his 12, he had his 72, and it progressively grew. And the multitude we see today is because Jesus followed the Father. Are you ready to follow the Father and the leadership of the Son? Are you ready to lay down your life, get on the cross, and begin to say, you know what? It's a rapid church planting movement. It is the church, rightly related, rightly connected, discipled, functioning in the context of the Great Commission. But I'm telling you, I totally agree with Peter Wagner, and I totally agree with Steve Hill. that the hope for America is the church, because the hope of glory is Christ in you. And that's what bring it about. Listen, if you want to know more, go to vfnfamily.org. vfnfamily.org. There's VFNU to train you up and launch you out. There's foundational aspects of building your basic discipleship in Jesus Christ. You know, getting and finding out what it's like to be family instead of an organization. Because listen, if we're going to move as family, you know, we got to be family. Family is what holds us together. You can't be an institution and family at the same time. It's called confinement. But you can be family. You're together because you want to be together, because you love God and you love each other. Find out more at vfnfamily.org.